Our scripture this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Let us listen now for God's holy word. The power of the Lord came on me. His spirit brought me away from my home. He put me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw a huge number of bones in the valley. The bones were very dry. The Lord asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Lord and King, you are the only one who knows." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Tell them, 'Dry bones, listen to the Lord's message. The Lord and King speaks to you. He says, I will put breath in you. Then you will come to life again. I will attach tendons to you. I will put flesh on you. I will cover you with skin. So I will put breath in you, and you will come to life again. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied just as the Lord commanded me to. And as I was prophesying, I heard a noise. It was a rattling around. The bones come together. One bone connected itself to another. I saw tendons and flesh appear on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell it, the Lord and King says, breath, come from all four directions. Go into these people who have been killed. Then they can live." So I prophesied just as he commanded me to, and breath entered them. Then they came to life again. They stood up on their feet. They were like a huge army. Then the Lord said to me, "Son of man, these bones stand for all the people of Israel. The people say, 'Our bones are dried up. We've lost all hope. We are destroyed.' So prophesy. Tell them, 'The Lord and King says, my people, I am going to open up your graves. I am going to bring you out of them. I will take you back to the land of Israel. So I will open up your graves and bring you out of them. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You are my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again. I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I have spoken. I have done it,' announces the Lord." And we thank God for the gift of God's holy word. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Better legs and a better butt with every step. The Reebok Shoe Company made that promise for its easy-toned tennis shoes. They were proven to work your hamstrings and calves up to 11% harder, and they would tone the wearer's buttocks up to 28% more than regular sneakers just by walking. Well, in September of 2011, Reebok didn't admit that this claim was false, but they did agree to refund their customers $25 million. Likewise, the skincare company Nivea introduced its My Silhouette cream as having the new BioSlim complex. And by rubbing this cream on your belly or thighs or any other place you'd like to trim, in just 4 weeks, you will take inches off your body. Well, a few months later, the Federal Trade Commission settled the situation, and the company admitted that My Silhouette was just a combination of anise and white tea, and, and Nivea had to pay $900,000 as part of a settlement. And have you ever received one of those exclusive letters in the mail with what looks like a check for millions of dollars already made out to you because you've already been shortlisted for the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes? There's a winner, and the winner lives at your address, and the winner has your name, and all you have to do is mail back that card or call that number, no purchase necessary. You are just moments away from being a millionaire. Well, ads like the buttock-toning shoe and the fat-burning skin cream and letters telling us that we're soon to be very, very rich, all from doing little or nothing, they just seem to prove the old adage that if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. Muscles without lifting weights, younger looking skin without plastic surgery, making money while one sleeps, too good to be true. Fairy tales, pie in the sky, fantasy dreams. We are educated, rational people, and we know that these things are impossible. Impossible, like very dry bones in a valley. A bunch of them lying there and then coming together, connecting muscle and skin and being added and the breath of God giving them life again. Impossible. A Hollywood movie, maybe. But certainly impossible. And indeed, this mildly creepy account of bones rattling around and gaining flesh, this didn't really happen. We read that this was a vision that God gave to Ezekiel. But it was a vision depicting a different promise that also seemed impossible, perhaps even more so. Because this vision was to help Ezekiel to understand what God was promising to the people of Judah and to him. During this time, an impossible time. Ezekiel is in Babylon, and this is the time known as the Babylonian exile. In 597 BCE, the Babylonians, building their empire, required the Judeans to submit to their rule, and they exiled the Judean king and many leaders, including Ezekiel, to Babylon. Now, about 10 years later, the Babylonians razed the capital city of Jerusalem and the temple and deported another group of leaders to Babylon. And for those in exile in Babylon, there seemed to be no future, no hope. Their temple was gone, their city was gone. And as was the understanding of the ancient world, they must have believed that their God was less powerful and had been defeated by the Babylonian god. Their god was gone. A future for them, a future for their brothers and sisters, impossible. And it's at that time when God comes to Ezekiel and says, "Come here, let me show you something." And we read of this dream, this vision that God presents to him. Dry bones, long dead, disconnected from one another in piles in a dark valley. And God asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel admits that only God knows, only you know, Lord. And so God says, "Okay, work with me here. Here's what you need to do. Talk to these bones. Tell them that their God is going to put breath back into them. Tell them that I am going to breathe new life into them, knit them back together with tendons, restore muscles, and cover them with skin." And Ezekiel does what God commands, and he begins to prophesy to the bones in this vision. And sure enough, the bones come back together, and they are connected to one another, to muscle as well, and then comes the flesh, and there they are. But they're still dead, no breath. And once more, as part of this instructional demo vision, God says there's more to do. Prophesy again, Remind them again that they will receive the Spirit and they will live. Tell them. Prophesy. And again, Ezekiel goes to work, hitting home again about the Spirit, because the Spirit is the key here. God's Spirit is the key, and Ezekiel says, breath, come from all four directions, go into these people who have been killed, and they can live. And sure enough, in the vision, God telling Ezekiel what to do, Ezekiel following God's instructions, God's Spirit being the essential element, what happens to those dry, dead bones? Breath entered them, and they came to life again, and they stood up on their feet like a huge army. Impossible. God then tells Ezekiel, go now to my people who are like these bones, who are dried up, destroyed, who have no hope, who no longer believe I am with them. Tell them, I am going to put my Spirit in them and they will live again. Even more impossible. Well, as the writer Anne Lamott says, when God is going to do something wonderful, he or she begins with a hardship. When God is going to do something amazing, he or she starts with an impossibility. And so I invite you to think for a moment about the impossible times you have experienced. A time when your loved one or you were diagnosed with cancer. The moment when your partner or your spouse left your relationship. A conversation that you had with your boss that left you without a job. Think about the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days that followed the last earthly breath that your parent or your child or your brother or your sister took. Those were impossible times. How would the sun rise tomorrow? How will we make it one more day? Those are times when it seems as if the world has ended and hope was lost. When times when you felt, when we feel that we are cut off, exiled from God, as Ezekiel and those Judeans banished to Babylon. And now, especially in this time, it does feel, in some ways, we are in exile. Some of us are not able to hold our grandchildren during this time of social distancing. Some are unable to be with our sweethearts, our children, our friends. And tell me, don't we even miss seeing that really annoying coworker just a little? And don't we miss not being able to gather here and sitting in our pew and sitting next to our siblings in Christ? And Joyce, if you're watching, don't you miss giving out those hugs every morning? Don't we miss? Aren't our arms longing to embrace one another as we come together to worship God in this sacred space? Dry bones. That's what I feel like sometimes. In a valley, disconnected from God and God's people. We read headlines that pose questions like, save the economy or save lives? What has the world come to when that is even a question? We stand in line in the grocery store, 6 feet apart, and yet close enough to hear someone say, what difference does it make if the virus runs through the prisons or the immigrant detention centers? We hear, this is survival of the fittest, and this is God's punishment. What has the world come to when those kinds of statements are heard? They're signs of a fearful world, of a worried world, of a hopeless world. That's what breeds those questions, those statements. That's what breeds prejudice and us and them mentality and the dismembering of the people of God. Those are beliefs that take away our breath, not because of joyous awe, but in shock because of their abhorrent nature. And they leave us without a sense of spirit, the breath of God. And that breath of God is exactly what we need now and always to remind, to revitalize, to remember us to one another and to God as God's people. Go back and think about those times. Maybe I hit on one before, those impossible times through which you've already come. Illness or injury, grief, loneliness, fear. And think about the times of great suffering that the people of God have endured. War and famine, Holocaust. And how did you, how did I, how did the people of God endure? I would suggest that by allowing themselves and ourselves to remember and to be remembered by God's Spirit, by following the direction of the people whom God sent to be prophets, to remind us and God's people of the love and the power and the presence of God. Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor says that she cannot hear this story of the Valley of Dry Bones without thinking of her friend Matilda, who died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which means that she gradually lost control of all her muscles. And she writes, her face went first, then her vocal cords, then her legs. And for the last year of her life, she communicated writing on a slate, one of those erasable things kids play with. Sometimes she would get so excited that she would write and erase faster than anyone could read. Matilda found a lot to be excited about. Watercolors, for instance. When she couldn't talk anymore, she taught herself to paint. And her kitchen walls were papered with tulips and peonies and daffodils and hibiscus. Taylor writes, it was all I could do to watch her die. I wanted someone to walk into her room with a pill or a prayer that would cure her illness or at least halt its progress. But even if that happened, even if Jesus himself had showed up to call her from her tomb, she would have to die all over again. It would have been a rescue from death instead of a triumph over it, a resuscitation instead of a resurrection. No, something bigger than that was going on with Matilda. Every time she lost something that she thought she couldn't live without, she found that she could. First, there was the painful void that lasted an hour, a day, a week, and then something new moved in to fill the empty place. A new friend, a deeper sense of the presence of God. He is calling me, she wrote on her slate one day, like a bridegroom calling his bride. Matilda had discovered in one challenge after another that God was as near as her breath. Circumstances changed, but the breath of God brought her to a different, new sense of life that spilled over on those around her. Can these bones live? I will put my breath, my spirit within you, and you shall live, says the Lord. God called upon Ezekiel to prophesy to God's people, to remind them that God was there with them. Ezekiel carried God's message to people so that they could be drawn back together by allowing themselves to take their next breath, knowing that it came from God and was filled with and filling them with God's life-giving spirit so that their hope would be restored. In this time of social distancing, when there is so much uncertainty, when we read of false prophets saying that the end of days are here and now, that this is God's punishment, in this time of Lent, these days of contemplation, when we consider the life and breath of God, when God came to earth in human form, Jesus partook of the same air that we breathe even now. In this time, we would do well to remember that we are called to be like Ezekiel to one another, to remind each other and our community that God is just as close to us as our next breath, that God is filling us even now with the Spirit that gives life and gives it abundantly. Before and during and after an illness, before and during and after a loss, before and during and after this pandemic, before and during and after Jesus' walk to and death upon the cross. Resurrection. God's people remembered. Dry bones living again. And as always, the impossible made possible through God. Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, oh, we are so fortunate. Our minds and hearts cannot even comprehend the depths of your love. But we are so grateful. Allow us to share that love with one another so that we may all feel this mighty, awesome, incredible, life-giving Spirit.